Remember them that are in bonds, that's in prison, folk, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourself also in the body. First of all, I want to concentrate on this word brotherly, because I believe that some people are confused about who their brother may be, when there should not be any confusion. According to Acts 17 and verse number 26, the Bible teaches us that God made all nations from one blood. Every individual that exists in this world, on this planet, came from one main blood source, and that was Adam and Eve. And we need to understand, just because a person has a different complexion, just because a person may live 5,000, 6,000, 10,000 miles away, we are still connected as one by blood. We need to understand that, because often we see differences in our background, in our cultures, and in turn, we reject the poor who are less fortunate than ourselves because they don't fit in our standards of living. They don't have the resources that we have. And in turn, well, we don't want to deal with those people because they are underclass. They are just not as privileged as you are, church. They don't have the opportunities. I have always tried to distinguish poverty from poor. Poverty from poor. See, I understand what it means to be in poverty, and I also understand what it means to be poor. Poverty literally is that you don't have anything to work with. See, over in Liberia, there is 80% unemployment, 80%. And we get upset when the employment rate is in double digits around here. We get upset. They literally don't have anything to work with. But yet here in this country, where people have many, many opportunities, they have this mindset believing that they are poor and not privileged because they don't live on the south side of town. Or they don't live in the north and have a home. Well, let me assure you, some of those people who are living in poverty would love to live in the projects here in this United States of America. We need to understand that, because I've seen the dilapidated homes. I've seen how unprivileged they are. But yet, they are my brothers and sisters. They are my brothers and sisters, no matter where they are from, no matter what their complexions are like. We are all made of one blood according to the scriptures. And we need to always remember that, because the next word within the text I want to concentrate on is that let brotherly love continue. That word is a profound word that I learned. It carries the idea of remaining in, dwelling therein. What God is trying to get us to see, that love is not something that you put on like your clothing. You don't put it on one day and pull it off the next day. Love is a state of mind that we should continue to dwell in each and every day. In other words, brothers and sisters, when we have the opportunity to show our love, to show where we live. Because I'm not talking about in your home or in your cars. I'm talking about what's in you. I'm talking about the mindset that you have about your love towards your brother. That brother that looks different. That brother that acts different. that brother that may be incarcerated in jail, still, no matter where he's from, no matter what he has done, God loves that brethren, that brother, and God wants us to continue to dwell in a state of love. See? Love is a command. Love is a command. I'm glad we are members of the Church of Christ and we bring our Bibles to church. Don't we still bring our Bibles to church? Are we getting so dependent on technology that when a brother calls a scripture, we can't open our Bibles up and go to the scripture? Come on. We got our Bibles, right, church? Yeah. Can I get a good amen on that? Yeah. Hey, if your Bible represents the love you have for God. When you study God's word, you are learning about how much God loves you, and it represents how much you love God. Now turn your Bibles to John chapter 15 and look there at a few verses here. I want you to look at verse number 9 and 10 with me. Watch what the Bible says. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved who? You. He's talking to the disciples, but I bet you the word you is all inclusive. I want you to understand that that means me and you too. Jesus showed his love, and I'll show that to you. He says, I love you. Continue ye in my love. Now, again, let us understand the term. That it means to dwell in, to remain in. You just don't put it on and turn it off, my brothers and sisters. But I believe we're now living in a society that love has been turned off. Don't you believe that? Oh, look at Revelations chapter 2 and verse and the first few verses there. That's what the Bible says. Revelations chapter 2. And we're going to go down the Bible. We're going to read the verses because I want to make an illustration here. Revelations chapter 2, he says, unto the church of Ephesus write, these things says he that hold the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works. I want you to understand that God knows you, and he knows what you practice. He knows whether or not you are dwelling in love, that you are remaining in love. Now, watch what he says. I know thy works and thy labors and thy patience and how thou can't bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. That's what my translation. And has borne and has patience for my name's sake, has thy labor and has not fainted. But then God has a problem. Because I want you to understand what I believe that is going on here. See, we get so tied up in Phariseeism. We become legalists. And in turn, when we become legalistic, we block out certain things. We only want to be rigid about the rules. You know, they're trying people. They're testing people to see whether or not they are apostles. But yet, in all of that, they have lost something. See, when we become so rigid that we can't understand that people are less fortunate than ourselves, people who don't know God, people whom we won't reach out and try to touch their lives. That goes from those in the White House all the way to the our house, my brothers and sisters. We have a responsibility to love our brother. That's a responsibility. That is a command God has placed upon us. And we see this church here going through the rituals, through the rigid paces of the law. Oh, well, hey, they say they're apostles. We're going to try them. We're going to do this and we're going to do that according to the scriptures. But I'm here to tell you today, we can become so legalistic that we lose our first love. And if you don't fit into our little group, we're not going to share love with you. I don't care where a person is from, what a person has gone through in his life, no matter what his history is, we have a responsibility as the Lord's body here at Northwest to love that individual. Have a responsibility. And we break God's law of love when we don't fulfill our obligations to the Word of God. We break that law. In other words, if we are breaking the laws of God, because the Bible talks about those who are not in the law have transgressed God's law. Have transgressed it. Have broken it. Have failed to complete or to fulfill God's law of love. I need you to understand that this morning. See, go back to what Jesus said over there in John chapter 15. Again, he teaches us in verse number 10. He says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. In other words, if you are not abiding in his love, then it's not remaining in you. It's not continued. You don't dwell there in it. And Jesus clearly teaches us, if you keep this commandment, you will abide in my love, as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be fulfilled. See, understand something about this, is that Jesus wants us to be joyous people. But we can't be joyous if we're not loving. Turn your Bibles over to Galatians chapter 6 right quick. Chapter 5, I'm sorry. Galatians chapter 5. Look here with me. Galatians chapter 5. And look at verse number. Sorry, the fruits of the Spirit. Let me find it right quick. I know where it's here. Oh, boy, I'm looking in chapter 6. No wonder I can't find it. Okay. He says, watch this. But the fruits of the Spirit is these. Love. The fruit of the Spirit is these. Love. Now, then he goes on to say, joy, peace, long-suffering, you see it. But I don't believe that you can produce these qualities in your life unless you first start loving. Y'all see what I'm saying? How in the world can you have this joy that we read about? How can you produce these other qualities that we are reading about if we don't love? And you know, according to 1 John 4, God is what? Love. God expects that quality to remain, to dwell in our lives. He expects that of us. So in order to have this joy and peace and happiness and to long suffer, you know, you can't hardly deal with people if you're not patient these days. See, I work with folk. Every day I go out there and deal with people who don't have any scruples, who don't have any morality. And yet I have to welcome these people with open arms, with love. And how often many of you sitting here today have ran into the same type of people on the street? People don't care anything about anyone, only about themselves. But yet, as a Christian, as a man of God, I must continue to love those who may even hate me. And the Bible says, love your enemies. We have to understand the scope and the profoundness of this subject called love. Brotherly love must continue in your life, according to the Hebrew writer. Jesus said, this is a commandment that I've given you, to love. Oh, boy. And to tell you the honest truth, each and every individual here needs it. You need it. You may neglect it, but you need it. But if we get caught up in this worldly sense of love, oh, what do we have? And see, this is how the world has done love. They have taken lust and placed it, replaced it as love. They have taken their desires of the flesh and called it love. They want to poison your mind with this thing about, hey, you, if you love me, I'll love you. No, no. To the Christian, that is not the mindset. I love you because my God has commanded me to love you. That's what my Lord has commanded. Let's look at it. Let's look at it. Turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Let's look at another illustration, a beautiful illustration Jesus has given us. And y'all bear with me because I can't get there. But we have. Watch what he says in Luke chapter 10, starting around verse number 30. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Three quick points. The world wants to strip you. The world wants to wound you. And it wants to leave you somewhere on the side of the road half dead. See, let me tell you, the mortgage company don't care that you lost your job. They don't care nothing about that. Once you start getting 3 and 4 months behind, hey, I'm sorry, they'll put your stuff on the street. You see, that's what the world is all about. You know, the banks doesn't care about whether you just came up a few pennies short on that mortgage check you just wrote. If that check bounced, they want to charge you 50 for bouncing a check. And don't let it get back to the mortgage, folks, because there's another 50, 100 that's going to come out of that for late fees and plus a bounced check. See, I'm here to tell you today that all the world wants to do is strip you. And when you are wounded by the world, it cares less about your bleeding. It just leaves you on the side of the road, half dead somewhere, my brothers and sisters. We need to keep in mind that if the world says that they love us, then the world is trying to deceive us that we can fall into its trap. I call it the cavity of depravity. That's the world's thinking. It's just an empty, rotten, decaying hole where people find themselves in. And in turn, they struggle to get out. But when they can't seem to get out, when they want to get out, they give up, stop trying to get out. That's the way the world thinks. That's the way the world wants to leave you. And yet, let's look at the illustration about how worldly thinking goes. Watch what he says there. He says, and by verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Wait now. You mean the world pretends to be religious, Bro Willie? And the world tends to be religious? And yet these religious folks will not love you, will not care for you. They look at you and they walk by on the other side of the street. That's the world. That's the. If he doesn't know you, man, I ain't got no time for you. You're a bum. You should have never came down this street by yourself. You know what could have possibly happened? They walk by. And then a priest come along and he spots the man. Oh, okay. This is the thing. This man, my brother. Sorry. I'm gone. But yet, here comes a man that those two men that passed by, and possibly even the man that was wounded, would spit on him if he saw him in that condition. Y'all hear? See, the Jews thought the Samaritans were dogs. Even though they had the same bloodline, it was mixed, but the same bloodline. And yet, this man looked at this Jew laying on the ground, knowing that what he would probably do to him if that was him in that situation. Now, if anybody should have walked on the other side, but yet, the Bible teaches us as we go through this, he set him up, poured oils on his wounds, bandaged him up. I mean, what is that, bro? What drives that man to do such? What drives a person to go out of their way to help somebody else? What drives them to reach beyond the standard of the world? It's love, my brothers and sisters. It's love. It's love. And that man picked him up, put him in his own car. We know it wasn't a car, right? Y'all know it wasn't a car. But took him what he could get some help for and paid the cost to help him. You see, I need you to understand that's love. Now, think for a moment about our own undone condition. For my Bible teaches me in Ephesians 5, when we were yet without strength, God showed his love towards us. God showed his love. I need you to understand, no matter what condition your life has been in, no matter what you've been through, no matter how degraded you have been, you could have been that person in that cavity of depravity. You could have been lost out there in the wickedness of this world. You know, I often think, and I'm going to share this with you, I often think, if God wouldn't have came into my life at the right time, I'd have been a crackhead. At the right time, I wanted to stop that craziness because I knew it didn't mean me any good. And at the right time, I started trying to know Jesus. And it's only because of his love. And I bet you who are here, if you sit down and you reflect back, if you look retrospectively, You can see a time in your life where you could have been caught up in some garbage. And it's all because of God's love that you're here today. All because of God's love. But yet, here we are in the midst of God's love. See, I want you to know that the church represents God's love. Jesus established this institution as a hospital for people who were in the cavity of depravity that can come in, try to get their lives straightened out. People who can realize and understand that I can't do anything without God's love. Therefore, hey, welcome. And it would be a shame and a pity for us not to practice God's love right here in this congregation. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and it's verse number, y'all bear with me, 24. Hebrews 10 and verse number 24. Watch what the scriptures say. The scripture says this. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. Okay, no, 24, I'm sorry. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and work, church. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. In other words, I have a responsibility to encourage you to do good works. See, we need to understand, I've had this clearly in my PowerPoint, that the only time the word love is used as a noun is in Galatians chapter 5, verse number. Everything else is used as a verb to show action. Love provokes people to do good work. Y'all see that? Love provokes. And what does it provoke? Well, the very next verse teaches us, forsake not the assembly of ourselves coming together as some do. No, we should be provoking one another to come to the house of love. Is that all right, elders? I'm out of place by using that term. Man, this should be a house of love. Because love is in Christ. He showed that to us by giving his life for his friends. Come on, y'all know that? He gave his life for his friends. And if you are in Christ, he gave his life. He sacrificed himself for you and for me. Now, the question I need to raise here is, how appreciative are we of that love? Because if you go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we just read that in Hebrews, we should provoke one another. Look at what the Hebrew writer says. He says, the Ephesian writer says, for we are his what church? We are his work church, workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Tell me love ain't a good work. Tell me love is not a good work. God created us to love one another. God wanted us to understand how much he loved us. The Bible clearly says in John 3:16, for God so. Oh man, and often when I'm studying with guys at the prison, they miss little words like that. So. They miss little words like unto and into. You know, that's a big difference between unto and into. When they miss these little words, and I point this out to them, that you can't overlook those little words. So it means to this degree, to that extent, God wanted to show his love to you. God wanted to show his love. I want to show my love to you as well. That's the reason why I always walk up to you, hey, love me. Give me what I richly deserve. You know, I'm not the best person in the world, but I got a right to love you. I'm commanded to. And I want you to love me back, because I know if our love is strong, there's nothing in this world that will divide us. Go back to Hebrews right quick, and we're going to conclude here shortly. See, if I'd have had my PowerPoint, y'all would have been here an hour or two. Watch what he says. He says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby also have entertained who? Strangers. It says, you have entertained angels unaware. Wouldn't it be amazing when you get to glory, you find Brother Gabriel as an angel that came this way? And you entertained him. You loved him. You supported him. Huh? What? And you get up in glory. Oh, God, you sent that angel to test us? We don't know. It's an unaware thing. When people come into our congregation and we don't know who they are, well, we should try to get to know who they are. We don't know who's sitting in the midst of us. Maybe an angel. Ooh. And I would hate to be rude to an angel. I would hate to be rude. So love people. Love them with a true and honest heart. Hey, you don't need anything from them, because you get all your blessings from God. And when we are a strong family based on love, there is nothing that can break us apart. See, we read that this morning in Romans chapter 8. What shall separate us from the love of God? Listen to what the Hebrew writer says. And he says, remember them that are in bonds. That's prison, folks. We got a prison ministry here. And I'm so appreciative of those who come out there and serve. You should be appreciative of those who serve. Matter of fact, why aren't you serving in the prison ministry? I might as well throw that in there. A good thing for you to come. See what's going on. See how we are building and changing lives. We are not wasting our time going out there. We are actively involved in encouraging men to love God. That's what we're out there doing. Oh, you may not think that, but yet we know what we are doing, do you? You know, what about those good works? We were created for good works. So visit those who are in bond. And then this last part, he says, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. You know, ever since I got the call that our dear brother Gary had departed, I have constantly gone in prayer for the family. I want you to know that I love Brother Gary. And I can't say enough about my brother. I I feel for the children and my sister Ruth. I feel for them. I feel their pain. I feel what they are going through. I know what it means to lose a close loved one. And I lost my father and then lost my mother. That was one of the most painful events that I had experienced in my life. You know, to see my mother, a loving Christian woman, laying in that box just brought me to tears, folks. And I realized that it's bringing that family to tears. See, we all relate who have lost loved ones, know what this family is going through. We all relate. So what are we going to do about that? Man, the only thing we could possibly do at this time is love. Not just in words, in action. That's what this is all about. It's something that moves us, compels us to reach out. And if we can't say a mumbling word to them, they'll know that we love them. So sometimes we don't have the words to say, but they should know that we love them. You know, Gary was instrumental here. He was a part of this family. And each and every family member should feel for his wife and children. Feel, brothers and sisters. I mean feel. Not just talk about it, but feel it. Because who knows? All I can say, I picked up on a new book called The Power of Now. And I'm getting ready to close. Y'all bear with me. And the book brings to mind the only time we have is right now. You know, from what I understand, I wasn't here today, Brother Gary sat on his pew with his wife and gotten sick. They had to take him to the hospital. I was not here that day. But yet, who's next? Because all you have is right now. And in that right now, you better be thinking like Christ wants you to think right now. Because you don't want to be separated from God. You don't want to be separated from love. That is the reason why it is required that we dwell in love. We remained in love. We love one another like we love ourselves. Who is my neighbor? Whoever comes by my way. Whoever comes my way. If you are willing to love, allow me to love you, then I'm willing to love. And let me tell you, you don't have to love me. But if you're a Christian, you better. That's not hard. That's not complicated. We need to feel for those who have lost loved ones. If you're here today and you need to respond to God, because God is love, that's who you're responding to. Don't let anyone stop you from responding, because the only person that you are accountable to is God. That's the only one you're accountable to. And therefore, don't be ashamed to respond to your Father and His love for you. Give your heart, dedicate your life to remaining in that love. He requires something of us if we want to prove and show our love. He requires that we be obedient. John chapter 14, chapter 15, 14. If you love me, okay, I don't hear you, church. Oh, so we have to be obedient to that love. Well, that means responding out of faith. faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's by listening to what God has to say from his holy book. And then once you hear it, then there's another requirement that you need to make, is repenting. Now, I know that's tough. It was tough for me. It was tough when I first became a Christian. You know, like I told you, I was into them drugs, all that crazy stuff. But then that's what drawed me out of that state of life, was God. And that drawed me out. I said, wait, now it's time to get serious about this life. And 30 plus years ago, God drew me from the mercury, from the muddy water, from the miry clay. God took me. I'm going to work with this boy. He may become something. I mean, who makes us who we are? Huh? Who makes us? I can see myself down there wallowing in a crack house, smoking crack, on my knees searching for... I can see that. But if it wasn't for God, that's where I'd probably be. And if any of y'all know anything about crackheads, you know what's going on. It's only because of God's love that he reached down. But yet you have the responsibility of repenting. Repent or perish. That's your ball. You got to play with it. And it's hard, but the game is fair. You see where you're going. Do you see where God wants to take you? That's what repentance is. Man, God wants you to turn around from that and take you in another direction. In a relationship of love. To have that kind of relationship, to have that kind of concern for an individual, man, that's profound to me. That's all about love. Turning from and turning to God. That's what that's all about. Loving God, God loving you, and confessing the sweet name above all names. For by no other name can man be saved than by the name of Jesus Christ. That's it. Acts 4, around verse 12 there. If you don't know, I may have misquoted it. But there is no other name that can pull you out of the position you in but Christ Jesus. No other name. I need Christ. He doesn't need me. I need him. And be buried in the water of the river baptism for your sins. What that does is washes away. It cleanses you. It puts sin in remission. Oh, yes, it puts it in remission. In other words, God no longer sees your sin because you're covered by the blood. And see, as so many of us were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, oh, I need to be in it. I don't need just to come unto him like some of the folks at prison think. Just come unto him. No, bro, you got to get in him. And baptism is the only means by which you can get into Christ. That's what the love is. That's what the blood is. And that's where we need to be as Christians. And if you're a Christian and you decided, you know, I know how life is, because sometimes you want to step out of the, you know, and understand. You want to step out. If you didn't want to step out, you never would have stepped out. Come on, that's just real. But God wants you to step back in. But you have to acknowledge your sin. Man, I'm not afraid to acknowledge mine. I thank God for that door that I can acknowledge when I'm wrong. Because I want to stay on the straight and narrow. Straight and narrow get rough. Especially when you go home all by yourself. I understand that. I understand that pain. Sometimes you feel all lonely and blah, blah, blah. No, no. As long as I got God, I got somebody. Who's for me, who loves me, who's going to care for me. That's who I got. Now, the question You need to ask yourself, who do you have outside of Christ? Who do you have? You know, who do you have? Oh, that temporary feeling, those moments of pleasure, of ecstasy. You know, that's what crack does for a person. Give them a temporary moment of ecstasy and drop them like a rock. That's all that does. 15 minutes of sex and it's over. Come on. I'm trying to get you to see in Christ there is always love. And it's best for us to get back in it if you're out of it. If you're here this morning and you need to respond to my Lord, my Savior, my God, this is the opportunity to do it now while we stand and sing the invitation song.
We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free.